Hey, good afternoon, church. You know what? It's been such a long time since I've been here. There's many. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for an honor. There's many things I need to say. It's been such a long time. One of the things I need to say is Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. You know, it's been such a long time. Oh, it's encouraging. And oh, I have to say who I am as well, because there may be new faces that don't know. Who is this guy? OJ. And I'm from West London, the West London church there. And we've already had our service there this morning, our Mother's Day service. It was great. And it's been a busy day thus far. You know, I think when I agreed to come here to preach, I think it was in January I agreed. I didn't realize that it would be Mother's Day. But hey, that's fine. You know, I woke up this morning and I had some cards ready for my wife, one from my son and one from me. I was up really, really late last night, did the early hours, preparing many things that I had to do today. One of them was a sermon, one of them was Kingdom Kids class and Mother's Day presents for the mothers and everything like that. So I had lots of things to do. So I went to bed really, really late. So I think the presentation of the cards to my wife didn't go according to plan. She saw them before I woke up, which is fine. It's just fine. I take it those are for me. Yes. What has happened? What has happened I think it's 5 months since I've been here. 5 months. Many, 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 many things have happened. My son has had chicken pox. So it just recently had them. I think everybody in his nursery has had them, chicken pox. I now know that I've already had chicken pox. Because I would have caught it otherwise, because I looked after him for a week or so. And but one really interesting thing happened. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the, most of you are far too young. In 1974, there was a big fight in Kinshasa, Zaire, called the Rumble in the Jungle. Yeah. And the following year, there was another big fight in Manila, Philippines, called the Thriller in Manila. Thriller in Manila. Yeah. And there's things like that. But there was the rumble in Ealing. Yeah. Well, we decided to have a prayer chain in West London. We decided, let's have a prayer chain. And me and one of the brothers decided, okay, it's a 24-hour prayer chain. So me and one of the brothers decided, okay, we've got to remind people like a half an hour before their slot. So we'll send a text message. Da, 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 da. So you do that half, and I do that half. Okay, I have all the mobile phone numbers of everyone in the church. So we do our announcements actually by text now in the church. So we've got everyone. So yeah, we've got a high tech. What do you see? The first four people up here today were doing everything from mobile phones. Come on, you guys are high tech as well. And so there was a sister who is married to someone who's not yet a Christian, who I had to remind to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what's coming next, don't you? So I sent a text message at 6 o'clock in the morning to this sister. And husband saw the text message. And I put at the end of the text message, as I do to everyone, love in Jesus, OJ. Husband wasn't very pleased with that at all. So he decided, I'm going to come to that church and sort him out. No. I'm going to come to the church and sort him out. So, I didn't know about this. Maybe some other Christians knew about it, but they didn't tell me. So there I was, at a midweek meeting, enjoying some fellowship. Gentleman comes along. Hello there, all right? Come on, we'll step outside, mate. So, now, there are advantages to being 6'2" and 16 stone. People usually want to negotiate first before contact takes place. One of the recent times I preached here, wasn't the last time, maybe the time before, I preached on Luke 14. And on Luke 14, it says, what does it say? If you have 10,000 men, and the other man has 20,000, then ask for terms of peace. Similarly, If you're 5'2" and he's 6'2", negotiate. So fortunately, that is what happened. So I'm still here. I have no bruises. We had a nice conversation, and peace reigns in Acton. So there you go. So I'm on my best behavior now. I sent I sent church announcement texts to everyone, and I don't sign them with any lovey-dovey things. I just say from the church. There you go. Okay. There you go. So there was almost a rumbling in West London, but that's pretty much what's happened, you know. So hey, it's good to see all your faces. I know there's people here from Central. Yeah. Obviously, but I also heard there's people here from Riverside. Yeah. Riverside, yes, I heard that a lot of your congregation decided to, you know, they were struggling a bit, so they went up to some far place. So you guys kept the faith and come down into Central. Fantastic. It's good to see you all. If you turn the Bible to Luke chapter 8, please. You're going through the book of Luke. And I heard that my very good friend Mohan was here last week doing Luke 8, 1 to 21. Mohan, as some of you know, at the moment is unbearable because, as some of you may know, India won the Cricket World Cup yesterday. So, it's just, you don't really want to speak to him today because that's all he wants to talk about. And I'm sure that's what most of his sermon was this morning, but I didn't hear it. I was in Kingdom Kids. And that wasn't a strategic plan, by the way, but it was... There you go. So we're in Luke 8. Okay, the title of the message today, if you're one of those people who like structure and titles and everything like that, you like structure and points and title. Okay, good. The title, Jesus is the Answer.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Answer. Hey, the sermon will bring up many questions, and just remember that Jesus is the Answer.
Amen.
Okay. Jesus is the Answer. Luke chapter 8. As you can see at the beginning, it talks about Jesus calming a storm. Point number one, the answer to your storm. The answer to your storm. From verse 22. One day Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The answer to your storm. You've got to remember here, the disciples, they're under the instructions of Jesus. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got out of the boat and set out. They're under Jesus' instruction, but there still came a storm. We can have storms even when we are trying to do what is right. We can have storms when we're trying to obey Jesus. We can have storms. Being a Christian, becoming a Christian, seeking God, doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have storms. But Jesus can calm those storms. If we have faith, our attitude towards our storms can be different. Are you panicking about something? Is there a storm in your life? What storm are you going through? Maybe you're panicking about your studies. Now, a good friend of mine recently, he's quite a good student, but he'd fallen behind on some of his assignments. And panic set in. oh, he had a very bad week where basically he just dropped everything else to catch up with his studies. And even missed church, you know. But he just, you know. Eventually, you know, he pulled everything together and did well in his test. But so he's got studies, exams. How are you feeling? Maybe you've done your exams, you're waiting for the results. Maybe you've got exams to go. You're panicking. What is the storm? Relationships. Do you have a relationship issues? Whether in your family, how's your relationship with your mother? Mother's Day, Mothering Day? You know, do you have a... Is there something that needs fixing? Is there forgiveness required? Both sides? Yeah, I went to... My stepdad died a few years ago, and it was so sad that his two sisters hadn't spoken for maybe for 10 years or so. And that didn't change at the funeral. And it's so sad, you know? And I think maybe he wasn't speaking to one of them as well. And it's so sad to die in that sort of situation. It's so sad that, you know, if we have relationship problems and maybe we're not speaking to someone, and maybe we have some sort of justification, oh, yeah, well, I tried, but they didn't reciprocate, so, you know. But if anything happened, it would be so sad that that hadn't been reconciled or your conscience hadn't been cleared. The storm of relationship, health. Debt. That's a storm, you know. So we have many storms in our lives. And just a little point here, and I've mentioned it before, but the whole... I don't know if you've heard of the concept or the doctrine of prosperity, where you do what is right, you know, do, and then God gives you everything back, you know, give £100 and you get £1,000 back, you know, live a good life and then you give a big mansion and a big house, you know, and all these sort of things. And often when the Bible talks about prosperity, at the context is spiritual wealth, not physical wealth, because you can have spiritual prosperity but still be physically poor. You can still have tragedies happen in your life. So if anybody is seeking a relationship with God and you're looking for some sort of healing, or you're looking some self-improvement or something to go away in your life, it may not go away. The promise is a relationship with God. The promise is that your problems will go away. Your attitude to your problems can change. You can still be happy. You can still be fulfilled. You can still be full of joy and faith, whether your actual physical problems go away or not. But what is the storm you're going through? Jesus can calm that storm if you put your faith in him. Put your faith in Jesus, and he's the answer to your storm. Point number one, Jesus is the answer to your storm. The answer to our weaknesses, the answer perhaps to our failings, the answer to our weaknesses. From verse 26, let's read on. They sailed to the regions of the Gerasenes, which is across Lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time he had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus has commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times he had seized him, and though he had been chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into the solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down to the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this into the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. So first of all, you talked about storms in your life. So maybe there's something, pending storm, or beginning of a storm, and you're panicking, etc. Or maybe we've gone to the next stage. Maybe, you know, there's something in your life, there's chaos, and maybe there's something in your life which is already out of control. A demon-possessed man. Is there chaos in your life? Is there something in your life that is out of control? Almost like a demon possession. Do you have a temper? What happens? You know, it's interesting, you know, and I've met some people in life and they're really nice and really friendly and they're really warm. Put them in the wrong situation. Or the wrong person. Or a really annoying person. And sometimes you see a new type of person come out. And sometimes we can lose control. Do you retaliate uncontrollably sometimes? Or maybe it's even in your mind. I'm one of the, somebody mentioned to me recently, you know, something happened and they just went to fits of rage within themselves, swearing and everything like that. So it wasn't coming out verbally that everyone can see it, but they were just... Do you have an addiction? Maybe, this happens a lot in the world today, sexual addiction. Is there something in that area out of control? What about eating? Do you have an eating addiction? Is that an area that's out of control? What about laziness? Do you overindulge? Is that out of control? Where you just, you know, sit down and you just have long periods of not being productive, or there's a whole other message or sermon on the whole idea, or the whole thing of David and Bathsheba, and when David committed his sin, it was when kings go to war. So even a man after God's own heart, and given nothing to do, adultery. I find it difficult to believe that any of us, who none of us were as great as David, given nothing to do, would therefore not sin in maybe an equally significant manner. Facebook! Are you on it all the time? Oh, I know some people on Facebook. I know, goodness gracious, we know who they are, don't you? You look at their Facebook wall, and it's, I just woke up, yep, I'm just ironing my shirt, yep, just gone to the shop to get some milk, yep, just come back from the shop, yeah, and everything, you know. That's quite funny, and that's not necessarily in of itself, but hey, maybe you know in your heart, maybe you are overindulging on the internet. Junk TV. Do you watch too much TV, you know? Sorry, I've got to say this. I know this is not going to sound, for some of you youngsters, this is not going to sound very cool, but I can't stand MTV bass. I can't stand it. Sorry? You with me on that? Come on! MTV bass. Well, you know, there's quiet in the room because some of you obviously like it. However, MTV bass, come on, guys. The videos on that are soft porn. I mean, come on. MTV bass. I mean, come on. You watch those videos. I mean, they're all the same, aren't they? You're all the same. You got some guy rapping. And I'm not saying the music's rubbish, but all the videos are the same. They got half-naked women showing off parts of their body, even though the song has nothing to do with it at all. You know? And I can't stand it. But anyway. Yeah, good. But there may be other channels that are, you know, and even the, I was speaking to a brother the other day and he said, oh, I love Two and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men. Okay. Oh, no, please don't preach against Two and a Half Men. Oh, I love Two and a Half Men. Come on, it's about a sex addict. Why would you want to watch, program about a sex addict? That's what it's about. That's the guy's issue. Why would you find that entertaining? But the thing is, you know, and remember, you know, we've got to flee from these things. So some of these things may be borderline technically, but I think Christians, we need to flee. So, are you overindulging in things like that? In junk TV or the internet or sexual addiction? Is that an area out of control? Is your mouth out of control? Do you suffer from foot and mouth disease? Engage mouth, then brain. Engage mouth, then sensitivity afterwards. Is your mouth out of control? What about your organization? Are you sort of all over the place? Disorganized. Now, here's an interesting thing is, guys, an encouraging thing is verse 32. A herd of pigs was feeding in a hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. Jesus has authority over your addictions. He has authority over what seems to control you. Jesus has authority. Put your faith in Jesus and you can overcome. With the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus, you can overcome these things. Amen. Jesus had the authority. They had to ask Jesus' permission. Jesus has more power than what is controlling you. And brothers and sisters, think about, you know, now this is a really important thing. The things, all of the above, the things that I've talked about, the things that sometimes control us. Look at verse 34. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man. From whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So he went and left them. Okay, so the guy had been cured and he's telling people what Jesus had done in his life. And you know, the truth of the matter is, the people that we know, the people that we spend time with from day to day, our work colleagues, our members of our family, those are the things that are really going to impact them. Yeah. Because a lot of them, they've known us for years and years and years. They've known us from when we were 10. They know us from when we were 20. They know us from when I was 5. And we've always had that weakness in our character. And now you have Jesus in your life. If you no longer have that weakness in your character, hey, I'm interested. Yeah. I'm interested. If you still have that weakness in your character, well, just another religious joke. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. People need to see our weaknesses and ailments change. The character things. You know, the thing is, it's relatively easy to change our religious behavior. To go to lots of religious meetings, to behave in a certain way publicly, to pray, to read your Bible and everything like that, and those are all good things. But if you remember what the Bible talks about salt and light, it says do your good deeds among men so that they will see your good deeds. And then what happens after that when they see your good deeds? They'll praise your Father in heaven. It says they're good, your good deeds. It doesn't say, if they see you praying, they will praise your Father in heaven. That means a lot to us in the room, but it may not mean that much to the people suffering in your community who need, they just want help. They just want to see the love of Jesus in the life of Christians. Perhaps think about something in your life that you may have held on to, that has stayed with you even though you're either seeking God or you've become a Christian. You know, I'm so glad Joe's coming to church now. It's so great. I've known him from when he was 10. But when he was 10, he was late, always late, still late today, always will, all forever. I'm glad he's a Christian. He goes to religious meetings. But hey, you know, some things just don't change. You know, he was always a bit, she was always a bit sarcastic, you know. We made a few snidey comments, and yeah, she goes to church now, she's got a nice Bible, and she's all right now, but the sarcasm is still there, some things just don't change. He was always a bit mean, you know, he was a bit stingy, you know, he's a little bit more generous now, but hey, some things, they just stay with you, whatever happens in your life, you know. One of the things I need to improve on is just keeping in touch with people, you know. That's one of the things. When I, it's improved, but it was very bad. Before I became a Christian, I was just like recluse, you know. I just did my own thing. I was very bad. I mean, I moved out of my mum's house. I moved up to the other side of London, and I didn't even give anyone my number. And better than that, I made sure I didn't know my number. This was before mobile phones, you youngsters. You know, this is where, you know, this is when we actually used to use public phone boxes. But yeah, I lived in a place where they had a communal phone and I didn't bother to learn the number. So if anyone asked me, I could just say, I don't want to give you my number. I don't know my number. You know, that was really, really bad. And after, you know, being a Christian a few months, Christians are encouraging, hey, you need to reach out to your family. You need to love your family more. You know, you need to. So that's improved. Is that something that's improved, you know, over your life being a Christian? You know, maybe before you're a Christian or before you started seeking God, you were distant because you were busy doing sport or busy doing this or busy doing that. And now you're distant because you're going to lots of church meetings. So to them, it's just the same. You just change from that to that, but it's not really, you know. Moodiness. Are you moody? Are you? Oh, I've heard a few. That's great. You know, we're getting a little bit better. But he's still a bit moody, you know. He's still a bit moody, you know. How do we dress? You know, it's difficult. We brought up this issue in the West recently. You know, we just needed to bring up. There wasn't really blatant lewdness, you know, bad people wearing really short miniskirts and all that sort of stuff and tight clothing. But we thought that there was issue. It's an issue that people don't know how to deal with and bring up. So, you know, because you may see someone, you think, okay, well, let Ian deal with that. I'm not going there, you know what I mean? And Ian may not notice, so, you know, we go around seeing people dressing. I'm not sure about that, but I'm not going to say anything. You know, dress code. And I know it's difficult. It's difficult because I think often, fashion, I think a lot of things are designed, even if it's not your intention to be lewd, they're designed to show various parts of your body. They're designed to do that way. So it's very, very difficult. But we have to be careful. If people see a difference in that, in your life, they think, okay, that's a different. Gossip, you know? Maybe you became a Christian or whatever while in the period of you're working for a particular company. And you became a Christian while you were working there, and beforehand you were involved in a little bit of gossip, and now you're there. Maybe you don't speak in the gossip, you don't throw things in, but you still just sit there and you're a Christian, so let me just not say anything. Let me laugh with them, but let me, you know what I mean? Gossip. Here's one that I thought, wow, this could be an issue for some of us here. untidiness. The reason why I bring it at us, some of you, okay, untidiness. Now, this is interesting, right? Because last couple of years, I've been studying with lots of teens, okay? And one of the challenges we need to call is their relationship with their parents. Doing my Mother's Day today, fantastic. Relationship with our parents, etc., etc. And I'm saying, okay, especially in a situation where you're a young person and your parents are not disciples, and they're not religious, they don't have a faith, and they're now a bit skeptical. What's this, all this church stuff going, right? And you, before you started studying the Bible, before you became a Christian, before you started seeking God, you had a dog untidy room. And now you're religious, or you're following God, or you're going to church, you still have an untidy room. That is not going to help your parents become Christians. That is just not going to work. It's not going to help. They need to see a change. They need to say, now you're a disciple, or you're a Christian, or whatever you want to call yourself, I want to see something better. And then they may say, okay, I don't really believe in God and all that sort of stuff, but my child was like this, and now they're like this. I'm going to come at least just to find out what this is about. I've seen that happen. I'm not saying in every case they become Christians, but I'm seeing at least it opens the door. You know? If you're living at home and you're a disciple and you untidy room, okay, and your parents are not Christians, okay, or they're skeptical, you are maybe closing the door on them. You know? Be a good son. Be a good daughter. Let them see the difference. Open the door to them knowing God. Let them see the difference. Are any of these things out of control? Remember, we're talking about the demon possession. Things in our lives that are out of control. Things that in our lives that are still out of control, even though we have God in our life. Jesus is the answer to the demon possession. Jesus is the answer to the things that are out of control. Let us have faith in Him. Let us pray. Let us fast. Let us get advice. Let us read God's word. Let us read spiritual books. Let us seek help. Let's seek to grow. Bible says, Matthew 5, I think it's verse 8. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst for this cure, for the help, and Jesus will give it. Jesus is the answer. Change also encourages you. Verse 38. The man from whom the demons had gone out, begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away. And tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town what Jesus has done for you. If your life is changing, then you have something to say. Yeah. It's great. If your life is changing, you know what? You know, and I used to have this struggle, and putting my faith in Jesus, God has helped me to change. And now you've got something to say. If you feel that your life is not changing, then it's very difficult to then say, hey, listen, you know what? My life hasn't really changed in the last 10 years. Come along to my church. Maybe your life won't change either. That doesn't quite work, does it? That doesn't quite work, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But if you feel that your life is changing, if you feel that you're growing close to God, you're overcoming things, you know, and this is not to contradict the old thing about prosperity gospel. It's the whole idea of being close in our relationship with God and feeling content and feeling happy because of that, and then wanting to share that happiness and share that joy with others. Even just being happy, you know, sharing in our happiness, you know. We're coming out of the station today, myself and Tony, and this guy was, he's dressed up in a funny outfit. I don't know if he came out of Covent Garden Station. He was in a funny outfit, you know. And he said to us, hey, it's good to see a smiling face. Because I don't think he was getting much smiling faces. You know, it's good to see a smiling face. Sometimes people just being happy, you know, can help other people in their faith and can help you in your encouragement, in your faith. Jesus is the answer to our weaknesses. Jesus is the answer to demon possession. Jesus can restore your faith. He can restore your life. The answer to our failures. Third point. The answer to our storm, the answer to our weaknesses, and the answer to our failures. Verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus answered. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people were crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that Jesus, see that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, Jesus. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. You see here, there seem to be three stages. And maybe none of us are in all of the stages. Maybe some of us are in all of these stages. Because we're talking about the storm at the beginning. And maybe there's just a storm in your life, or maybe there's chaos in your life, or maybe there's not chaos, maybe there's something in your life that you've completely given up hope on, or maybe there's something in your life that is dead. The title of the sermon today, Jesus is the answer. And whatever stage you are, Jesus is the answer. Because even here, it says, even if it's death, even if there's something in your life that you feel is dead, OJ, it doesn't apply to me. I've already failed my exams. It is dead. You know? Well, what's God trying to teach you there? God's trying to teach us that he can restore anything. It doesn't necessarily mean you will now pass your exams. I'm talking prosperity again. It may mean that, but it may not mean that. It may mean that you find another career that's better. That's what it may mean. But he can restore the situation. That relationship is over. I cannot forgive him. My father, he cannot forgive me. That is over. I have tried. I have phoned. I've written letters. It's just not happening. It is dead. Jesus can restore. Sometimes it takes a long time. I remember watching a TV program, and it was, I think it was called Make Me a Christian. And it was on a couple of years ago, and it was all about these these Christians going around trying to teach people. There was a prostitute, and there was an atheist, and there was all, you know, people homosexual and all that sort of stuff. And they're trying to help them come to some sort of faith. And they were in a shopping center, and he was sharing his faith, and he met a guy who was a Muslim. And the Muslim guy was quite angry, and was quite aggressive, and he was quite anti, you know. And they started having like a bit of a tussle, not a physical fight, but they were really, really going at each other a bit. And what the Christian guy did was, so you think, I don't know if you've ever shared your faith Muslim. I mean, sometimes it's a pleasant experience, so there's no, I'm not stereotyping anybody's faith here. Sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes you can be quite aggressive and really, really anti. And I had that experience recently in Ealing where a guy wanted to, his wife had to sort of stop him from trying to fight me, you know. And all I had to do is invite him to church. I assure you, I didn't abuse him or send texts to his wife or anything like that. But, so that was a situation. So they were having tussle. And what happened was the Christian guy washed his feet. Yeah, washed his feet. Totally changed the situation. Completely changed the situation. Did the guy become a Christian? No, he didn't become a Christian. Because, you know, in certain situations, becoming a Christian means death. Yeah. So it's a huge ask. It can be done with faith, reliance on God. God can change anyone. But in this situation, the guy totally mellowed. Why would this guy, if he hated me, if he was anti, why would he bend down on his knees and wash my dirty feet? If he was proud over me, if he was arrogant and thought he was better than me, why would he get down on his feet and what? Do you see what I mean? Yeah. It mellowed the whole situation. Yeah. Hey, Jesus can restore any situation. You know, sometimes we think it's down to us. I must figure out a solution myself. Hey, but Jesus has the answer. The woman was not intimidated by her surroundings. Very difficult situation. You've got to remember, first of all, Jesus is busy. He's in the middle of, on his way to Jairus' daughter. He's on his way. While he's still speaking, he felt. Also, then she told him about her problem. Now, she's been bleeding for 12 years. She is a woman. And in a group of, I'm assuming that this group is either mostly male or at least mixed. And she says, hey, this is my problem. Now, I'm not going to go any further, but I can assume that those are not the sort of conversations women generally have with men. Especially that they're not married to. Okay? So, but she really wanted to get help. She wasn't intimidated by surroundings. Sometimes we actually need to be a little bit aggressive in getting, I don't mean physically, you know, brothers, I mean fighting people, you will help me, you know, no, I don't mean that, you know, but sometimes we really, really need to really battle through the challenges and the intimidation, maybe of people's schedules or whatever it is, to get the help, the spiritual help that we need. And maybe worth asking yourself, what is it in your life that you believe is dead or beyond repair, but Jesus has the answer. We talked about failed exams, we talked about relationships, we talked about debt. Maybe, you know, maybe that's another thing. We talked about it earlier in a different context, but maybe it's something, maybe you think, wow, listen, you know, just finished my studies, and you know, there are all these student tuition fees and all that sort of stuff, and all these student loans business, and then you'll be paying back the loan until 2,300 or something like that. You know, it's great that I got a degree and it's great that I got a good salary, but 70% of it goes back to, you know, I'm tempted to make sure I earn just £1 below the threshold that I need to pay it back for the rest of my life, you know. But you think about debt and we think about these things, you know. It's never too late to turn to Jesus. It's never too late. And we're shown here that he raises the girl from the dead. Jesus has that power to raise your challenges from the dead, to raise your life from the dead. Brothers and sisters, friends, Jesus is the answer. That's the title of the message today. Jesus is the answer to your storm. If you've got a storm in your life, something that you're panicking about, believe, have faith, seek God, study the Bible, you know, turn to God, pray, maybe fast. Get help. Whatever you need to do, don't give up. Keep persevering. Keep plugging away. Things don't always change immediately or short term. Sometimes we just need to persevere and keep going. Jesus, the answer to our weakness. Is there something that is chaotic in your life that is out of control, that you need, that needs reining in? Jesus is the answer. Whatever it is. Is there something in your life that is dead or you believe is dead? There is no hope beyond repair. Jesus is the answer. So remember that today, brothers and sisters. Let's not give up. Let us not be self-reliant. Let us turn to Jesus. Let us have faith. Let us pray. Let us stick together. Let us focus on God. And remember that Jesus is the answer. Brothers and sisters, friends, thank you for your attention.